Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Health Wealth podcast again for another episode here. Episode number 2 of the year. Hopefully everyone is made a good start to the year and is already making good progress on any resolutions that they've made. Hopefully not, or already failed. If you listened to last week's, you've hopefully put some good things in place to achieve them. Slightly different episode this week. It's just me. Just going to be a quick solo one this week. Not going to run too long, but I just wanted to talk a bit. January is actually World Carnival Month, for anyone who wasn't aware of that. And so I thought I would just take a bit of time to talk a little bit about the carnivore diet, give people some more information on it, what it is, what it entails, where it comes from, what you do on it, you know, the potential dangers and worries and concerns people might have around it, and the kind of results that people have got on it, and you know, whether it might be something that you're interested in. So that's what I'm going to do today. And so we're going to talk carnivore diet. So first off, let's talk about where it came from. I mean, the carnivore diet essentially has been around forever. It's been around as long as humans have. You know, there's periods of history where we would have probably been eating solely meat, which is essentially what the carnivore diet is. There's periods where we would have been eating mainly meat with a little bit of plants mixed in. And that would have been for the majority of human history. You know, it's only in more recent times that we're eating all these other foods. There's only really been agriculture within the last 10,000 years or so. Before that, you know, there wasn't any of that. And even so, you know, there's even more foods within the last 100 years that have really sprung up and are being eaten now. So it's always been there. It's become more popular in the last 5-6 years. You know, people like Dr. Sean Baker, who wrote the book The Carnivore Diet, has kind of popularized it a bit more, and it's become more popular. But it's been around for a while before. It was referred to as zero carb before. I think it might have been called carnivore diet by some people before Sean Baker came along and did his book, but I think he kind of popularized that phrase anyway, which is what people refer to it as. And yeah, it's been growing quite a bit in the last few years, mainly due to the results that people get from it. So let's talk about what it is. Now, it's one of these things where there's no set guides on what a carnivore diet is. There's no set rules. You know, there's rough rules and guides, and you know, we understand that carnivore diet is basically eating meat, you know, as a carnivore would. That's the, you know, the definition of a carnivore is an animal or human who can get all of their nutritional needs from just eating meat, and they just eat meat. So that's essentially what it is. But then you have people mixing in with some people have eggs and dairy, and some people have, you know, some people start adding in more stuff like fruit and honey and different things like that, which is, you know, not really carnivore, is kind of getting away from it. But, you know, people mix in different things. I mean, essentially carnivore is meat, but, you know, people like to include dairy and eggs because they're from animals. You know, once you get into fruit and honey, that's definitely kind of away from carnivore and things like that. But that's what it's basically aimed on. That's basically what it is, and eating just meat. And, you know, some other bits if you want. But that's the main thing on it. And, you know, it works really well. For, you know, the people have got amazing results, and this is why it's getting so popular. Now, yes, you know, there may be people who try it, maybe don't get the results they want. There are, while you're adjusting to this type of diet, there's side effects that you go through, and some people will get them and they'll give up and they won't do it. So not saying it's a fix-all for everyone, and not saying it will work perfectly for everyone, but the reason it's grown so much is because people have got amazing results. Because let's be honest, it sounds crazy. Okay, when I first heard about it, I thought it sounded crazy too. But then I took the time to look into it, to start to experiment with different things, and found out that actually it's not so crazy, but it's very well. But it does sound crazy to begin with because of what we've been brainwashed with. If you go back 100 years, it wouldn't have sounded that crazy. You know, if you look back in time to the early 1900s and you got menus of places and recipe books, a lot of what we were eating was meat, fat, and some vegetables as well. You know, just basic vegetables. You know, even a lot of the vegetables around today weren't around 100 years ago. So it's basic vegetables, but very meat heavy and fat heavy. And that was the norm. So back then, carnivore diet wouldn't have sounded so crazy. But since then, you know, we've had 70, 80 years of propaganda and brainwashing and this transition to this new really high carb diet and plants are what you need and eat all this vegetable. And so now eating just meat sounds absolutely crazy to us. And it does sounds crazy, but you know, it's not. We have to start looking beyond and questioning things. And this is not just about food. You know, we talk about this all the time. It's not just food. It's not just nutrition. With everything, you should really question everything you're told, because a lot of what we're told is to manipulate us and, you know, to get us to do as, you know, people in power and people in control want us to do. And a lot of it is just around money, just trying to get us to do certain things and think certain ways that is going to make them more money and more power. And that's what it's about. And so you really need to start to question everything. And as I say, that doesn't just apply to nutrition, that applies to everything. You should always question things, and you should start to look into things and self-experiment, and just don't take stuff at face value. And I say that for everything, you know, like I say this, don't listen to me here talk a bit about the carnivore diet and decide that that's the gospel truth. You know, if you're interested in it, go out and do some more research on it and hear people's stories. And, you know, if you want to try it yourself, just have a little try and do a little experiment and see. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. Like, don't just, it doesn't matter who's saying it, never just take things as gospel truth. Unfortunately, that's how it is nowadays, because, you know, it's got worse and worse over the recent years, and you can't just trust stuff. So I include myself in that. Don't just trust me. If you find it interesting, do more research and look yourself on it. But, you know, there's plenty out there that shows that this way of eating is fine. And, you know, one of the best ways, and this is one of the things that always makes me laugh with this, is, you know, you talk about the carnivore diet to people and they say, there's no long-term studies though. You know, I wouldn't want to do it. There's no long-term studies on safety. I mean, there's a couple of things with that. Number one would be that, you know, human civilization is a long-term study. You know, whether we're eating that way now, you know, for however old you think the earth is and however old you think humans are, for the majority of that time, we've been eating a very meat-heavy diet. So if eating that much meat was bad for us, we would have never made it to this point. So, I mean, that's the long-term study. And the other thing that's funny is that they will happily eat these other diets, which actually have been around for a very short period and don't have any long-term studies. You know, like a vegan diet. Where's the long-term studies on that? No civilization throughout history has ever eaten a vegan diet until people are doing it now. No long-term studies. The amount of carbohydrates we eat, you go back not even 100 years, you go back to like the 1950s, and most of the calories were still coming from fat. It's since then it began to up the amount of calories from carbohydrates. There was the food guidelines in 1977, which really encouraged people to start to eat more carbohydrates and saying fat's bad and fat's the danger. And from there, the amount of carbohydrates we eat in our diet has gone up hugely. So a high carb diet doesn't have long-term studies, because if you go back 100 years ago, we weren't eating a high carb diet. So that doesn't have long-term studies. All these processed foods, within the last 50 years, the majority of foods that you eat today, unless you're eating, you know, a whole food, real, mostly animal-based diet, 50 years ago, these foods didn't even exist. So where's the long-term studies on that? There's none. So, you know, it's just a ridiculous thing they throw out to try and make you stop talking about the carnivore diet, because they, you know, they don't want to hear it because it challenges their beliefs. But the long-term studies thing is ridiculous, because as I say, humans being here is a long-term study, and also no other diet has a long-term study or ever will, to be honest, and neither will the carnivore diet. No diet is going to have a long-term study, because you can't do a proper long-term study on it. It'd be impossible. It would break human rights and all these kinds of things. So it's a ridiculous statement throughout, but people say it anyway. But anyway, that brings me, I'm losing track of where I'm at. But, you know, I'm talking about things that people say to put you off. So there are lots of things that will get thrown out if you're interested in this way of eating, which is why, you know, people think it's so crazy, because we're told all this stuff. You know, we're told eating lots of fat is bad. It's bad for your health. So we don't want to eat lots of fat. And then we're told red meat's bad for your health. And, you know, red meat causes cancer, and red meat causes diabetes, and red meat causes apparently every single condition you can get. Yet people are healing all these conditions eating just red meat, but supposedly red meat causes it. So this is why you need to question things and experiment, as we always say. You know, don't just believe what you're told. You know, is there a reason that they don't want you eating that? Yes, there is. because guess what? They want you to buy their processed, sugary, rubbish food and eat that. And if you're eating meat and real foods and healthy food, you don't want that rubbish. And they're not making money. So that's why. Also, the sicker you are, the more money they make selling medications. You know, the food business and the pharma business, they're all in bed together and making money together. And it's a vicious cycle. So there are reasons for them to tell you stuff which is not true. And that's why they do it. So don't fear it. So first off, you know, we can look at fat. You know, what's good about fat? Lots of things, and why we shouldn't fear it. So fat is actually our preferred energy source. So the human body can run on two energy sources. Well, technically three. We can actually use alcohol as energy, but let's ignore that for now. We'll talk about carbohydrates and fat. There are two energy sources that we can choose to run on. Pretty much everybody nowadays is running on carbohydrates because we eat a very high carb diet. The body will always use up the carbohydrates first before using up fat. Now, the reason for this is not because it prefers carbohydrates. The reason for this is because carbohydrates will raise your blood sugar, our blood glucose level. That is bad for our health and it's dangerous. Causes very many negative effects in the human body. And so, as a self-defense mechanism, the body will burn the sugar first. We say burn. You know, our body doesn't burn anything. It will use it up. Nothing gets burnt in our body, but that's just what we say. So it will use up the glucose first as energy because it wants to bring down the blood glucose level. And it needs to do that. So that's why we'll always use carbohydrates first. So when carbohydrates are present, it's very hard for us to get onto using fat for energy. And so when we're consuming fat and carbohydrate together, we are raising our insulin level in our body. And that tells us to store fat. So the fat you eat gets stored on your body as fat. And we use the carbohydrates for energy as we try and get our blood glucose level down. So that's the insulin's job. Insulin has a number of jobs. So it tells you to store fat, tells you what to do with energy that comes in. And its also job is to maintain our blood glucose level. So that as that goes up, insulin comes up, we'll bring it down. So in order for us to start using up any of our body fat for energy to try and lose weight, to lose fat, we have to use up all of the carbohydrates first. And when we're constantly carbohydrates coming in, we never get to that point because most people are eating a load of food and they're not doing much exercise. You know, for someone like an athlete who is eating a lot of carbohydrates, but they're also very, very active, you know, they probably do reach some fat burning, which is why they don't become obese. But as soon as they stop the exercise, if they carry on eating the same, they would become obese. So to get to fat burning energy, we have to remove the carbohydrates, which is essentially what the carnivore diet does. We take out the carbohydrates, we're just eating meat. And now, suddenly, takes a bit of time to adapt, which is where you can get some of the little side effects and you can, you know, you can feel a little bit low in energy as your body changes. We're changing fuel system, you know, like a car that runs on diesel and we're switching it over to unleaded. You know, there's some work needs to be done to make unleaded work. Because as you know, if you put the wrong petrol in a car, it breaks down. So we've got to switch over. And once you do, perfect. Then we're fat burning. Now, all of this dietary fat that's coming in, we're using it for energy. Okay, so it's not getting stored on your body. Also, the fat we've got stored on our body also begins to be used for energy because we're accessing it now. There's no carbohydrate stopping us. Our insulin's not spiking and telling us to lock fat away. And so it becomes a much better system for our body and is much better for things like weight loss. And obviously, weight loss is helpful in terms of our overall health. So it becomes so much easier once you remove carbohydrates from your diet. And we can use fat as our energy. And it's a perfect energy. When we are using, I'm trying not to use the word burning because obviously it doesn't burn. But when we're using fat for energy, the reactions in the body, the fatty acids give off things called ketones, which is the type of the energy that we use. And these are brilliant for brain fuel. So our brain will always need a certain amount of glucose to run on. So we'll never run fully on ketones. Small amount of glucose, but that's just the amount of glucose that we need to maintain in our blood. So this is why high glucose is dangerous. Low glucose is also dangerous because the brain needs it for energy. So we keep a small amount, and that is produced by our liver. We can use protein and fat, break them down into glucose through a process called gluconeogenesis, which makes all the glucose we need. So that's why we don't need to take any in. Our body makes enough. So losing where I am again. So the brain needs some glucose, tiny bit, which we produce, and the rest of it, if it runs on ketones, it's so much more effective. There's been so much research showing the cognitive benefits of being in a ketogenic diet on things like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, even anxiety and ADHD and depression, and all these things make such a benefit. Epilepsy, a ketogenic diet is, I think, the only diet that is used as an actual prescribed medical treatment for epilepsy in children. So, you know, we know it works. Ketones, very good for the brain and good for our body as a whole. And also, if you're trying to lose weight, it's great to be producing ketones, because ketones are the only form of energy that we'll just waste. Our body will just waste it. If we've got spare, it doesn't stay in the body. It comes out. So it comes out in your breath, and it can come out in urine. So you literally go to the toilet for a wee, and you're losing fat and weight. So it's, you know, for weight loss, it's really, really beneficial. But fat, dietary fat, is also not really linked to, let me rephrase that. So one of the other things that they say about having too much fat is cholesterol, okay? And about, oh, it's going to put your cholesterol up, and cholesterol's bad and cholesterol's dangerous. Dietary fat and cholesterol is not really related to your blood serum cholesterol, which is what they're talking about, just the levels in your blood. Because cholesterol is essential for human life. Our cells are made from cholesterol. Our brain is made from cholesterol. Our nerves, the myelin sheath around them is made from cholesterol. So basically, if we don't have cholesterol, our body shuts down. Now, our liver will produce a large amount of the cholesterol in our body, but we also need to take some in externally, which is what we do through eating a high-fat diet. And this does not, some people see their cholesterol go up eating this way. Some people see their cholesterol come down. Some people see their cholesterol stay the same. But dietary fat does not directly relate to your blood cholesterol levels. There's many other things that affect that. And also, there is much debate over whether it's actually a good indicator. You know, this is down to poor research and falsified studies from years ago that have said fat and cholesterol is the bad guy, and they've been blamed ever since. But there's not really, you know, there's not a definitive thing. There's associations trying to say it might slightly increase your risk having more, you know, and people talk about good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. There's no good or bad. There's just cholesterol, you know, and then people talk about LDL and HDL. So they're just the types of lipid proteins that carry things around the body. And one of the things they carry is cholesterol. They're not specifically cholesterol. They contain cholesterol, but people talk about good and bad and this and that. And it's, you know, it's that it's very, very much up for debate, but you know, they try and act like it's a settled science and high LDL is bad, but there's not anything to show that. And there's a lot of research, been done, and some being done at the moment, by Dave Feldman and crew that are showing that potentially that actually very high LDL doesn't seem to have any negative effects, but that's a study they're doing. We can't for definite say that high LDL is not a slight risk. So, you know, don't completely ignore it, but cholesterol is not this negative thing that is made out to be. You need cholesterol. You will die without cholesterol. So don't fear cholesterol and the fat that comes with it. One of the things people question is, you know, where are you going to get your vitamins and your nutrients on a carnivore diet? Because you're only eating meat. You're not eating vegetables and fruit. Where are you going to get your nutrients? So there are no nutrient deficiencies from eating a carnivore diet. We can get everything we need from meat, which, you know, probably surprises some people to hear that. They probably don't think that there's so much nutrition in meat. But meat is the most nutrient-dense food that there is in the world, by far. It's, you know, yes, plants have some nutrients in them, I'm not saying they don't, but meat is the most nutrient dense and the best for us. Because also, when it comes to talking about the nutrients, you need them in an absorbable form. So in meat, all of the nutrients are present in the exact form we need them. We can absorb them, use them straight away. In plants, they're normally in a different form. And we can convert them, mostly, in our body. Most of them we can convert, but you don't get a great conversion rate. So where you think you're getting so much of vitamin A, for example, from some vegetables, is actually coming as beta carotene, which we have to then convert into retinol, the usable form. So we're going to lose quite a lot. So you think you're getting this much vitamin A, but by the time you've absorbed it, which you won't even absorb all of it, and then you've converted it, it's much less. Whereas in meat, it's retinol. It's coming in as retinol. It's exactly what we need. So there's those benefits. And also there's things like with vitamin C. Now, for many years, people thought there was no vitamin C in meat. You know, you might have heard about, say, oh, if you only eat meat, you'll get scurvy because you've got no vitamin C. But no one on an all-meat diet gets scurvy because there is vitamin C in meat. What they did is they assumed there was no vitamin C in meat and they didn't even bother testing it. But when you actually do test it, there is vitamin C in meat. Now, it's not huge amounts, it's lower amounts. But the other thing that comes into play is that when you remove carbohydrates from your diet, you don't need so much vitamin C, which we believe is down to the fact that glucose and vitamin C both compete for the same receptor. So when you're eating sugar alongside vitamin C, you will absorb much less. When you're eating meat, there's no sugar competing, you'll absorb it all. You don't need it so much. It's probably down to the fact that, you know, we don't need so much antioxidants as well. There's lots of other antioxidants in the meat that we can use. And, you know, vitamin C is an antioxidant. But anyway, we don't need so much vitamin C. And we get vitamin C from our meat. And you can eat, you know, organ meats are packed full of nutrients. So if you feel you need more vitamins and nutrients, you can have the organ meats. But there's lots of people that are just eating muscle meats, no organ meats, and doing absolutely fine. So clearly, there's enough there for us. And in fact, you can reverse scurvy by eating just meat. So, you know, and scurvy and gout and things like that. So, you know, there is enough. There's all the nutrients we need. And there's lots of nutrients in meat which are not present in plant foods, which you can't get there. For example, with fatty acids that we need, there's EPA, DHA, and ALA. So ALA is the plant version. And plants do not contain the other two. In plants, you can only get the ALA. Now, ALA can convert to the other two, but it's a very poor conversion rate. So you're going to be missing out on a lot of these fatty acids, which are essential for good brain health. Whereas on an animal diet, you can get all of the essential fatty acids, so you can get the ALA as well. So, you know, there's benefits. You're getting more things. The animal protein is the only complete protein. You know, plant proteins are not complete in terms of what we need. So if you mix together different plant proteins and you can get all of the amino acids that you need if you're mixing them up, but then they're not going to be in the right ratios. If you eat meat, it's just there perfectly. Exact right ratios, everything you need to get it. So it's perfectly set up for us. As we say, it's absolutely the perfect food for us is meat. You know, you look at I talked about before the nutrients that come in the right form in animal products and don't come in the right form in plants. So vitamin A, we said about, vitamin D. So D3 you get from animals and from the sun, but in plants it's D2. Again, you've got to convert it. It's not as effective as D3. B12, you only get it in animal foods. You know, zinc and iron is much more absorbable in animal foods. You know, you've got heme iron in animal foods. It's non-heme iron in plant foods, and the heme iron is the one that we need. You know, calcium is a lot harder to get in plant foods. You can get it, but it's a lot harder. Easy to get in, you know, in fish and in dairy. So we can get everything we need from animal products. There's no need for anything else. And don't get me wrong, if you want to eat something else, absolutely fine. I'm not telling you what you should and shouldn't eat, but just telling you that we can easily get everything we need from this diet of just meat. And one of the real benefits of it, as we said, is the health results. You know, people get amazing health results from it. And without doubt, some of the reasons are just the stuff they're removing from their diet. You know, you're cutting out all this processed rubbish that we're eating nowadays. You're cutting out these seed oils, you're cutting out all these sugars and these processed carbs and getting rid of it. And without doubt, some of it is down to that. And some people could say, oh, you could cut that out without going to just meat. And you could. You could go, you know, to a low carb. I mean, you could go to a vegan diet and cut that out, you know, and get some benefit. But the thing is that that's not the only benefit you get. You know, the meat is actually giving you everything that your body needs to flourish, to thrive, and to repair itself, which is the key one. So there's a thing called intestinal permeability. And increased intestinal permeability is something that is very common nowadays because we're putting all this stuff in our body that shouldn't be there. These chemicals, you know, like the seed oils and the processed carbs and all these sugars, these toxins that shouldn't be there. And they're wearing down the lining of our gut, and they're starting to cause gaps where things that shouldn't get from our gut into our body are getting through. And that's what's causing a lot of health issues. And really, to properly heal our gut, we need these things. We need that meat. We need the fat. Fat is key for healing. That fat and that cholesterol, as we said, all cells made from cholesterol and fat. We need them. We need to be making new cells and healing that. And so there's many conditions where you just remove the processed rubbish and you get improvement. But there's also many health conditions and many health stories where people had to remove absolutely everything to reach it. They even had to remove the vegetables and the fruit and the things that people thought were actually all right. And, you know, for some people, the dairy too. I'm not, you know, the extreme elimination diet is just meat only, you know, but all these other things can cause issues. And the stricter you get down to meat, the more results people have got, which is what shows you that it's not just removing the processed foods that gets you there, that you're getting benefit from. It is also the fact that meat is the perfect food, and that sometimes we've even got to remove these other foods that people would think are okay to get that full benefit, because that is exactly what we should be eating as humans. That's our exact perfect diet. And like I say, if you want to eat some carbohydrates, feel free to eat some carbohydrates. I would say for anyone, don't eat processed carbohydrates. You know, definitely don't be eating these foods with seed oils and all the rest of it on it. But, you know, if you want to include some plants, some fruit and some vegetables, some low starch vegetables, you know, you can do that. And obviously, at the end of the day, you can include the processed food if you want. I can't tell you what to do. But, you know, it's, I think the carnivore diet really is the perfect elimination diet. And I think carbohydrate restriction that we use is a powerful tool to be used. And I think it's something that you can turn up and down if you want. For some people, a carnivore diet all the time works great. Happy to stay on it. You know, that's me. I eat a carnivore diet. I don't eat any carbohydrates, and I'm fine doing that. For lots of people, they don't really feel able to keep that up. And, you know, you could turn it up a period of, you know, really strict, no carbohydrates to heal yourself from something. And then you could just turn it back down and go back towards something that's kind of low carb and just animal based, if that works for you. But I think it's good to experiment. It's good to experiment. And, you know, the dangers, the things they tell you about these diets, like the carnivore diet, is that, you know, they're completely unfounded. And that's what you need to appreciate is, you know, whether you choose to do it or not, completely up to you. Just appreciate that a lot of this stuff is just completely made up. And even if they're quoting studies, you know, these studies are epidemiological. You know, you got studies where they're classing red meat use as people are eating pizzas and fast food. You know, that's not people are eating just grass-fed red meat, is it? It's completely different. You know, and they don't take into account all the other things of someone's life. You know, they just say, okay, did you eat meat or did you not eat meat? These people were eating more meat and they were sick, so the meat caused it. They don't take into account the fact that they didn't exercise, they smoked. And the group on the other side who didn't eat that much meat, they did exercise and they didn't smoke and they didn't drink. You know, they don't take these things into account. So you can't trust any of it. What you need to trust is your experience and, you know, the experience of other people. And so if there's something you're interested in, start looking at people's stories, try and speak to these people that had these stories and ask them their experiences. And don't be afraid of trying new things. You know, there are some side effects you can get as you transition to a carnivore diet, as I said about, as your body adapts, becomes fat adapted. Some people get headaches, Some people can get muscle cramps. Some people get diarrhea and or constipation, you know, one way or the other. And some people have a little bit of low energy for a while. These things normally go away within a week, and you can avoid them by making sure that you've got plenty of electrolytes balanced. So one of the things that happens is when you have a high carb diet, you also have high insulin. And one of the things it does is it tells the kidneys to hang on to sodium. When the kidney is where, you know, gets rid of the waste, filters it out, and we urinate out what we don't need. But a high carb diet, high insulin, tells it to hang on to it. So when we remove the carbs, then it dumps it. And so our sodium levels will drop, and people can end up with low electrolytes, and they just need to balance them. Add more salt to your diet. Make sure your electrolytes are nicely balanced and up, and then you can avoid most of these side effects. You know, don't give up just because you have one or two side effects during the adaptation period. You know, it's why it's good to work with people, you know, either in a group. You know, we're doing a 30-day healthy eating challenge right now, that we'll probably do another one in March. Good to be in a group or work with a coach and someone who has been there, done it, knows what they're talking about, and they can just say, you can say, oh, I'm feeling like this. They can just be like, okay, well, that's just this, change that, and you're fine, rather than just giving up. But that's that's probably pretty much covered it. I don't want to go too long. I just wanted to give a rough kind of overview of what the carnivore diet is, and mainly just the fact that you shouldn't fear it. Whether you want to try it or not, completely up to you, but don't fear it either way. You know, the things that are said about it are completely wrong, and that's proven by all these stories. You know, if you're interested, look at the health stories from it. There's so many success stories. And we've shared some on this podcast, and there'll be more coming up. And there's so many stories out there of people making incredible health transformations through eating this way. And clearly, eating a terrible diet that's going to kill you will not give you amazing health transformations. So, you know, that kind of is pretty obvious to cancel that out. You know, red meat is not going to kill you. The fat is not going to kill you. You know, it's these are foods that we've lived on for all of time, and that are essential to us. And we shouldn't be fearing them. We should be embracing them and eating them. And as I say, even if maybe the only change you make is you add a bit more meat to your diet and lower some processed carbs. And, you know, that's great. If that's what works for you, that's fine. But don't fear the meat. Don't fear the carnivore diet, and experiment, and do what works for you. Find your health, your journey. And that's our goal. We want to continue to educate people and encourage them to do that. You know, it's your journey, and you want to improve your health at the end of the day. So please do that. Continue to do that. Always have an open mind, and, you know, continue to learn. Keep listening to the podcast. We've got some great episodes coming up. We've got some really awesome guests. I'm really excited about some of the ones coming up. And we'll also be doing some deep dives into more health conditions, like we did with diabetes as well. And hopefully continue to educate people, and let's get optimal together.